Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu. Kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale, tinakalapo kondwela. Lelo heka, tutikumbukila kweta chokela. Amai kuvutika mutima, koma zoti tazisoa. Nimaona misozi masomu wake, nimavuto abale nimavuto.
Good morning from Dallas, Texas, and welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio, December 19th, 2015. Where the year has gone is anybody's guess. It has just flown by like a fighter jet. Welcome to the show. Exciting discussion. I'm looking forward to this, talking to one of my favorite people in the world. And Merry Christmas, everybody, to those other parts of the world where they say compliments of the season, compliments of the season to you. We welcome everybody to our discussion today. And we are going to be looking at AGOA, we'll be looking at investment opportunities in Zambia, we'll be looking at the opportunities available to diaspora residents. Before we do that, let me just mention to everybody that next weekend, which is, I believe, 27th, 2 days after Christmas Day, we are not going to have a live broadcast. We are taking just a short break, and we will come back on January the 2nd with a big, 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 big bang. And we're looking forward to that discussion. We will either have HH or Dr. Mumba, one of the two, just to start off the show, or the First Lady of the country. Okay, today we are discussing AGOA, like I've said, and our guest is one of, we consider him to be part of this team, part of this family, Zambia Blog Talk Radio, is the Honorary Consul of Zambia in the great state of California in the United States, and Robert does a lot of things, and we are going to talk about some of the things, and we are talking about none other than Mr. Robert Sichinga Jr. Good morning, cousin.
Good morning, cousin. How are you?
Now, I'm doing fine. Welcome back. You just came back from the motherland with a lot of rain pouring down there.
I managed to get out before the rain hit.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, excellent. Good to have you on as always. Ah, the switchboard is lighting up. I can see a lot of people have already called back in. Welcome my colleagues, Dr. Monsanje, Titus, Minnesota, Roger in Canada, Dr. Kalonde, and all the others that have called in. To everybody listening, Robert just came back from Zambia, like we are joking about it, and we want to learn from him what that was about and what some of the things that was done, a lot of accomplishments that we have to discuss today. For those that will be have called in or you're listening to us online, you'd like to ask a question, you can go to our Facebook page, Zambia Blog Talk Radio, or our Twitter page, Zambia Blog Radio. Robert, you just came back from Zambia. Those that are your friends on Facebook and look at your various website pages, they will see that you kept updating what was happening. Give us the background to this trip and what it was about.
Thank you. Well, first of all, Nathan, thanks again for the opportunity to get onto Blog Talk Radio. I always enjoy an opportunity to share what's going on, but at the same time also to get a feel of what the diaspora is involved in, and you always have very enlightening guests. So thank you again for the opportunity. The purpose of the trip, as you stated, was AGOA-focused. Now, keep in mind, over the last four or five years, I've been trying to do whatever I can to get the country to take advantage of their goal opportunities. So anything that we can to enlighten businesses or even just in terms of strategy development. But it's a lot of work, as I'll kind of walk you through some of the things that we had to do. And without resources, it was very challenging to try and do what it is that was required in order for us to take advantage of AGOA. Now, following my appointment as Honorary Counsel last year, it actually helped open a few doors locally here in the U.S. So I was able to take advantage of certain relationships and also get exposed to certain resources that made it a little bit easier for us to try and pursue any type of AGOA initiative. So earlier this year, I was at an event that was put together for the consular corps. So there were probably maybe about 30, 35 different countries represented. It was a dinner where the consular corps was meeting with the business community for networking purposes. And it was at that meeting that I met a gentleman who is a director of a program under the Anderson School of Management. Now, for a lot of you guys, you're probably aware that Anderson School of Management is the MBA program under the business and MBA program at UCLA, and it's actually one of the top MBA programs in the world. They have a very unique program that they developed in 1967, where their executive MBAs in their final year actually, instead of just your standard thesis, they're actually supposed to work on a real live project. So you have big companies, the Yahoos of the world, you know, Fortune 100 companies, Universal, that basically use them a lot because it's almost, it's like a, and you know, they say it themselves, it's a cheap way of using the very effective consultants. So I spoke to this gentleman and he told me everything about what they do. So I asked him, I said, have you ever done a program like this for a country strategy, as opposed to a company? So he asked what I meant. So I told him, I said, well, I've been trying to develop an AGOA strategy that I'd like to present, an AGOA strategy for the country, but this would not be a company-specific initiative. It would be a country initiative. So they invited me to go and speak with their leadership. And after a couple of meetings, they decided that, okay, fine, let's go ahead and try this. So I was supposed to put in a formal application, which needed to go through a board of approval. It did, and then I had to come up with the fee to pay. And if you recall, last year, Nathan, we sent a container of medical supplies to Zambia.
Yes.
One of the gentlemen that that was part of that team funded paid the fee that we were charged. So we were fortunate there. I then got contacted by the team. There's a team of five executive MBAs who are basically working as the consultants. I am the project lead. So I basically designed the layout of what it is that we're trying to accomplish. So we actually began work early October as a team. And part of what the requirements are is they have to do both secondary and primary research. So a lot of the secondary research, obviously, through books and papers and other documents that are out. But your primary research, you need to be in front of people actually asking questions. So they've done a little bit of that here in the U.S., but you can't. It's difficult to have a truly effective strategy unless you actually go on the ground. And that was the trip that we made end of November. We all traveled. Actually, three of the team members traveled with me. I went a little bit earlier, and the rest of the team, the other two, are going to go for follow-up meetings in January. So that was the purpose of the trip. That's the long background of how we ended up traveling down to Zambia for the AGOA meeting.
Okay. Before we get into, I would like you to explain to somebody listening out there who may not know what AGOA is. Just share briefly with us how the honorary council thing or responsibility that you've been given, because some people may not know that even before you became honorary council, you've been doing a lot of things to promote investment from this side into our country. How has the honorary council appointment, or if that's the right word, how has it worked to your advantage in boosting, promoting the image of the country and making your work easier?
Sure. Yes, I have been trying every way that I can to try and promote investment into the country. But frankly, it's not easy when you're going, you know, you're picking up the phone, calling people, sending emails, and you're calling as, you know, just Robert. And it's like, okay, fine. You know, who are you?
Uh-huh.
So, truthfully speaking, the appointment as honorary counsel has really opened doors, right? Because they're responding not to the individual, they're responding to the title. I feel very privileged to have been given that appointment. But frankly, to be honest with you, it's a huge responsibility, right? They appoint you and they expect you to actually deliver. So on the one hand, it's great. It's a great honor. But on the other hand, you really can't sit around and just enjoy the title, because at the end of the day, you know, once in a while you get a call and say, okay, so, you know, what's going on your end? You know, we kind of expect things to happen. So the greatest benefit, truthfully, has been at least doors get opened. People at least listen to you. You make a phone call. You throw the title out there, and then they say, "Oh, okay, let's listen to what he has to say." Now, when you get the audience, you better know what you're talking about. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be difficult to go back in there. Now, with regards to AGOA, that's a good question, because there are a couple of people that have asked me, hey, can you explain what this AGOA thing is? You know, we've been talking about this for years, so I just take it for granted that everybody knows. It was basically an act. It's called the Africa Growth Opportunity Act, which was signed in 2000, the year 2000, I think it was under Bill Clinton. And in a nutshell, what it basically says, the U.S. has basically said, hey, look, you countries in Africa that are eligible, and, you know, the eligibility comes based on, you know, certain human rights conditions and that sort of trade agreements. I mean, agreements with regards to how you the trade, the reciprocal type trading happens between the two countries. America has basically said, we will allow you to export into the U.S. this list of products, and about 7,000 products. Some are finished products, some are raw products, anything from, you know, even live animals, but they're very specific. They're allowed to import them into the U.S. duty-free. All right, so it creates a huge opportunity if you can break into the U.S. market. Now, the U.S. market is huge. You know, you can have a couple of customers in one county, and that can really make a difference for a country's economy. So countries like Ethiopia, Kenya, Lesotho, even Malawi have really taken advantage, in some cases just with one or two products. Malawi did very well with just spices and tea, you know. Lesotho is fabric, and they've seen the economies actually really change. So as a country, Zambia had not taken full advantage of AGOA, not because we're not able to, but as a country, I think from a foreign income standpoint, we really relied a lot on copper. Now, you know that over the last several months, you've seen what has happened to the price of copper. It started to fall. And, you know, His Excellency President Lungu has really reiterated the need for the country to start looking at those non-traditional exports, right? The country is very rich when it comes to just the other types of products that are available. But because we haven't really focused on those as a country, we haven't been able to take a full advantage of AGOA. Now, keep in mind, some people have, especially in the precious stones area, that's an AGOA-eligible item. There are some people that have really been taking advantage of that. The other thing from an export standpoint is we have a huge market right there with the Democratic Republic of Congo and Angola, and just even within the COMESA area. So, you know, breaking into the U.S. is not easy. So a lot of producers feel, you know, why go all the way to try and break into the U.S. market if right here there's a demand for our products just here within the region, including Europe, right? There are a lot of Zambian companies that are, our honey is actually exported into Europe and is highly regarded. So, you know, you ask yourself, you know, do you go to the, you know, the path of least resistance, or do you try and break into a market like the U.S.? So what I basically did was said, okay, look, let's see what we can do on our end. You know, we've got kind of a foot, we're in the U.S., but it's, you know, kind of also touching the Zambia side. Maybe we can help to create that link. While others are working on the region and Europe, maybe we can also try and work on the U.S. side. And this is kind of an appeal to all of us that have any type of interest in trade and investment between the U.S. and Zambia. The AGOA opportunity creates a huge opportunity for us to not just to develop a country, but potentially make some money in the process.
Excellent. Now, when somebody, Robert, I also want us to address the issue of products. This initiative that you undertook, when somebody is looking at it, it's like you just said AGOA was instituted in the year 2000. This is like 15 years later. It's looking like you are starting something afresh here. What exactly is going on here? What prompted this initiative for you to do this?
Okay, you bring up a good point. Yes, the AGOA initiative is 15 years old, but it was scheduled to expire this year in 2015. So at the beginning of the year, a number of African countries campaigned to Congress to extend AGOA. So I forgot to mention that this year in July, AGOA is extended for another 10 years. So so that was the drive. I said, okay, guys, we can't let another 10 years go by without taking advantage of this. Now, keep in mind, it's not like Zambian organizations didn't make any efforts. I mean, Ministry of Commerce actually has an AGOA response paper. You've got ZDA that also has a section around, you know, activities around AGOA. But what happened was the time when Hillary Clinton was in the country, I think that was, what, 2010 or 2012, I believe it was. So I think 2011. There was another resurgence to try and jumpstart the AGOA initiative. But again, differences in priorities and areas where you can get an immediate benefit versus others, those were the areas that kind of drove the country to focus on areas where you can make money almost immediately, as opposed to, you know, going the AGOA route. So in terms of what prompted me, I guess, you know, one is the fact that you've got 10 more years that we can take advantage of this. And then two, I felt it's partially my responsibility to look for opportunities and where I can find that, hey, you know, I can potentially help here. Let's see if I can collaborate with our stakeholders in Zambia and try and make this come together. Really, it's just based on knowing that, okay, there's a need here and I potentially may have a resource to help out. Now, granted, you know, the work only starts now. The real work begins now because a lot of that was fact-finding. Now the specific things that have to happen. So there's a lot of work that's going to have to get involved here. It's going to be involved here. That's basically what got us to where we are now.
Okay. To my colleagues that have called in, please, if you need to say something, just press 1 on your phone keypad. This is a great discussion for us to engage Robert and get to learn and understand some things. We have Dr. Musanje here, Zambia Business Zambia Diaspora Business Group, my colleague in Canada, Roger, they are all here. And I know you guys, you've got a lot of questions. Titus, you were in Vegas. When we went to Vegas, Robert was there. Let's try to build up on some of these things that have been happening, but we've been dormant. One of the things I want us to talk about, Titus, I want you to keep this at the back of your mind, and Robert as well, is let's look at what we can do from the diaspora point of view, some sort of a build-up or continuation from Vegas, although there's been a huge gap of time frame that has passed here. Robert, before I bring in my colleague from Canada here, you said 7,000 products under the AGOA scheme or program. Before we zero in into some of the things that happened in Zambia, in your opinion, which are some of these products, for the sake of those listening who may like to jump onto this thing, which of these products on this 10,000 huge does Zambia do well, or can Zambia do well on?
That's a very broad question, Nathan, because one of the things that we're doing as part of this initiative is to go through every single one of those products. So I've been assigned a colleague at ZDA to work directly with me on this initiative. And we're going to be combing through, I have a list of every single one of those products. So we'll go through each one and identify the products that are available in Zambia. But for the purpose of this period, October through February, one of the things that we did is said, okay, let's just focus on four products just to try and get an idea as to what are some of the things you're going to need to find out, regardless of what product. So we looked at four, right? So we've got peanuts or groundnuts, cassava, precious stones, and also processed copper. When you not just the raw copper, but value addition. What other products can you get out of refined copper? So these four, we started to do an in-depth study. But one thing that I tell you that really surprised me on this trip is the value of cassava. Some of the things that that the world is going to be using cassava for, the things they're using cassava for even now, just blew me away. For example, the companies that are using cassava as part of the processing when you mine copper and you go through the processing when you're separating the copper from the ore, there's a process that you go through. They use cassava for that. For some of you guys that are aware of this new technology, laser printing, they use cassava for that. There's so many things where the world, the demand for cassava is just going to shoot up. Now, granted, we know it's used for glue and for starch and all of that, the standard stuff. But there's a lot more innovative things that are coming up regarding cassava that just blew me away. I didn't even know what they were using it for. And as you know, it's just grown by subsistence farmers just here and there across the country. So there's actually a strategy paper in Zambia on cassava, on just the value addition you can get from cassava. Back to your question, there's all sorts of things. There's raw hides, you know, the leather skin. There's African curios. There's different types of agricultural products, even meat, beef. But as you can imagine, there's quality standards for you to be able to bring raw food in are very high. So there are lots of different products that are available. What we're trying to do is, yes, we'll provide a whole list when this is all done. The whole list is going to be available. And that's one of the things that Commerce has tasked us with, is that we want to know every single product. And then we're going to go through what's called product stratification, where we look at each product and say, okay, which ones are the easiest to export right now? All right, so let's say we find that, okay, for example, 500 products are available in Zambia that are AGOA eligible. Of those 500 products, not all of them can be exported currently in their current form. Maybe there's additional processing that has to take place. Maybe the quality standards has to be increased. But there may be some products, for example, like precious stones. You don't really need to do anything more with the precious stones for it to make it into the country. So there are going to be some products which don't need any or very little processing that then can be exported. So Ministry of Commerce has said we need to know what products those are right now so that we can start pushing and making sure that the country benefits from them. Now, those other products which require additional processing, we also need to know them, but we have to start the ball rolling when it comes to processing those. So that's the process that we're calling product stratification, where we identify the products and then break them into these three categories. What can we export now? Which ones require maybe 1 year or two years to develop? And then which ones require more than 3 years to develop going forward?
Amazing. Roger, cassava, isn't that a surprise to you?
Well, it is not maybe surprising, but I don't know what Robert thinks. It might be scary, because if food starts going into the mining, then we might be in trouble. But my question, Robert, those who are doing well with AGOA, I know the Kenyans have really taken advantage. Other than the oil-producing countries, I think those are the ones who export much. And the numbers, I think, are skewed towards oil. But those who are doing well, other than oil, like the Kenyans, what are they doing right, which I think we maybe need, I don't know if the copy is the right word to use, which we need to emulate, so to say?
You know, that's a very good question. And we had a meeting with somebody in Zambia. There was a lady from the U.S. She's a U.S. trade representative. She had traveled there for meetings with her, for COMESA meetings, and we're invited to a reception for her at the U.S. embassy. So that's one of the things she brought up. She says, you know, why not look at what the other countries build that have been successful and what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, countries like Kenya, Ethiopia,
Ghana,
Lesotho, for example, their biggest was fabric. All right, so they made a lot. So they've been very successful in the fabric industry. Now, you know the history of Kafue textiles. Right. Even though we started to produce good fabric, we had nice jitengas and all of that. That whole Salaula thing, when we started bringing in all those bottles of Salaula, that killed our fabric industry. Right. And that's the reason why you saw Kafue textiles go out of business, because there was no value in producing garments or clothes if you could get high quality secondhand clothes by going to Soweto market. So the fabric industry got killed off. There's still an opportunity there to try and build it up if we choose to. Now, in terms of what each country has done, the underlying commonality with all of them is a clear and defined strategy, which is multifaceted, right? So you've got the equivalent of their Ministry of Commerce. You've got other trade organizations. They all came together and they said, okay, this is the direction we need to take. And then they provide whatever support, whatever incentives that are required for those companies. But that's what we're doing now, right? I mean, if you think about it, we met with ZDA, CEEC, Zambia Bureau of Standards. All of these entities that I met with, they're very familiar with AGOA. Don't get me wrong. They know what they're doing. They're very familiar with AGOA. They do a very good job. But AGOA hasn't been the priority strategy for these countries. The other countries that you mentioned, Kenya, all of those, they don't have copper. They're not a high-producing copper country like Zambia. So they haven't gotten, comfortable with a resource like copper. That's kind of what has got us where we are. So what we're hoping to do with this is to develop a nationwide and very practical strategy for us to take advantage of AGOA. Keeping in mind, Zambia's already got export strategies in place. So this is just going to hopefully just fit into whatever they're already doing.
Mm. Do you have, just a follow-up, a timeline you think? Because, like Nathan asked the question, what has been holding us for the past 15 years, the way you said, it's been signed for a long time. What is the timeline, if you were to probably say something about that, when we think the AGOA timeline strategy could be in place, and what we can do to make sure we start to contribute to that strategy or participating to AGOA as members of the diaspora?
Okay. In terms of timeline, we're going to have a preliminary strategy paper that has to be in place by March. Because remember, the team that I'm using from UCLA, they're required to finish their project end of February. So by March, there'll be a preliminary strategy paper that will be presented to the stakeholders in Zambia. That is preliminary. Now, a more comprehensive, more full one should follow not too long after that, because ZDA and Ministry of Commerce have said they want the comprehensive list of their AGOA eligible products. So this is something that we're being worked on right now. The other part of that is also important is, in addition to having that list, we also have to have what the U.S. quality standards are required for those products and where Zambia falls in terms of those quality standards. So all of this is work in process as we're talking. So there are about 7 or 8 important deliverables that have to be that we are working on and hoping to complete before the March deadline. Now, in terms of what everybody else can do, as soon as everybody has a list of what AGOA eligible products Zambia has, there's going to be an opportunity now for on the U.S. side. We definitely need people that are connected on the U.S. side, because imagine if you've got 10 or 20 producers in Zambia of a particular product.
you can't expect all of these producers to understand everything about AGOA inside out. So you've heard His Excellency President Lungo talk about the need for cooperatives. So if you've got 20 or so producers, they come together as one under cooperative, they're going to need a representation in the U.S. of some sort that can get them that market, that can be their representation on the ground. I really do think that's going to be a great opportunity, a business opportunity for the diaspora. So, for example, if someone is producing honey and they want to export to the U.S., who is their contact on the U.S. side? Right. Now, a lot of times you might just find another distributor, a U.S., an American distributor, or it could be a Zambian who says, you know what, for X amount, for this percentage per consignment, I will be your representative on the U.S. side. So I think it will start with you getting the list, a comprehensive list, to that will be made available to everybody through through Commerce and ZDA. Once that list is available, everybody now has an opportunity to take advantage of the market.
Sure. No, thank you, bro.
And especially you, Roger. You know, your focus on the rural areas. A lot of these opportunities might come from the rural areas.
Oh, that's for sure. No, thank you so much.
No, seriously,
for sure. Because Robert, if you really think about it, 500 to some rural areas, it's huge compared to our guys in Lusaka. Yeah,
that's true.
No,
exactly.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
That's exactly. You are listening to Zambia Blog Talk Radio, our special featured guest, Mr. Robert Sechenga Jr., the owner of the Council of Zambia in the state of California. We're discussing making use of our understanding the role of AGOA in our Zambian market in particular. Let's go to Minnesota. Titus, go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. It might be afternoon, some people. Good job, Robert.
Oh, thanks, Titus. Long time.
And long time. I want to give you pointers because I actually attended that Lusaka AGOA meeting where Hillary Clinton came in.
Yes.
Just the pointers, there's Honorable Felix Mutadi who gave a profound speech on that. Ben Kangwan Media, who was also in Lusaka and was also in Las Vegas, as you know.
Yes.
Lucky Mulusa is strategically positioned. He was part of AGOA, part of diaspora, is handling state house procurements. We should be able to make sure that some of these programs are directed at that. Mr. Chisanga, that you met, I saw, there's a young brother who, Kingfred Chisanga, positioned in DC, goes back and forth. I would suggest that you use him extensively because he's already traveling, so maybe to push information back and forth between Zambia and here, it could be very helpful. The other thing that came out of July meeting was the birth of AWEP, Africa Women Empowerment Program, which is headed by Mrs. Sylvia Sue. Sylvia Banda, she's a person that is overall, I think, other than this, the main person was the first lady, that time it was Mrs. Banda. And so I would also solicit to say, can we make sure that these handovers are done properly for the sake of the country, because when the $4 million was given by Hillary Clinton to AWEP, it was with the First Lady and Sylvia Banda. But now, when the change of government moves, we need to be very careful on how we hand over these things so that the next First Lady knows about everything where it was, so we don't lag behind. That's my input. Mrs. Lungu today should have a good grasp and working hand in hand with Mrs. Banda. And Mrs. Banda, the Rupia Banda's wife, I know probably she's not in good health, but that's the dynamic that I would like to say. Your own father was the commerce minister. I would suggest he works very closely with Felix Mutadi, who has the blueprint of AGOA within the period of the adjustment. So we shouldn't forget, unfortunately, running into political things. So those are the things I can say for sure, that if we do good enough, the drawbacks of what Roger said and what Nathan is questioning to say, what do we move, how do we fall behind, I would say selfless, photocopying, and the strategy combination of sell point. As you saw, you're talking about a group of 20 people or so to try and move cassava. When you get that volume and you're selling it as one, it's very important.
Yes. Okay.
Secondly, not photocopying what Robert is doing. Nobody should start saying, oh, let me also do this part and go and look at people that are already on the strategic that have done a lot. But I'll let Robert.
Let him respond so that I go to New York. Titus and Dr. Kalonde also want to say something. Go ahead, Robert, if you need to respond.
Sure. Titus, you bring up some very good point. There's obviously need for continuity with any program. Specifically related to this initiative, one of the things that I didn't mention is that prior to even getting this off the ground, I needed to get the green light from obviously from commerce, because anything related to trade falls under that ministry. So in terms of who to talk to and who to engage, I'm working at, you know, I'm getting direction from Ministry of Commerce. So as much as I would like to reach out to different people, I think I also have to make sure that I'm operating within the approved the parameters, but those are valid points, because I think we see that a lot, right? Where an initiative seems like it's one person and then it doesn't follow up later on when there's a change in leadership. Points well taken.
Excellent. Thank you, Titus. Cletus, please go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say hi to Robert and Nathan and Roger and Titus and everybody else calling.
Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you guys.
I've got to make gift. I'll be waiting. Dr. Kalonde, go ahead.
Hey. Robert, how are you doing? This is Dr. Kalonde. Sorry. You knew me as Mr. Kalonde. You knew me as Mr. Kalonde in LA.
I know. I feel honored, but also scared. And I'm always scared when you open your mouth. Okay? I don't know what's going to come out. Be gentle. Nathan, I think it's better to put him on mute. This man is dangerous.
We are very aware of Dr. Kalonde here, and he's doing a good job, you know. He has brought a certain dynamic to this forum. We are enjoying it. Trust me, my brother.
Robert.
Go ahead, Dr. Kalonde.
No. First and foremost, I have to be honest with you, Robert. Congratulations for the position, and congratulations for whatever you are doing. You are.
Thank you, sir.
One first question is, where do you get this energy from? Honestly, because I can tell you have a lot of energy to do things. I wish I had the same energy. I'm getting old. But
aren't we all?
Now, Robert, considering California, where you are, is one of the most powerful economies in the world.
Yes.
If you try to talk to the people, since you are now in that position whereby you can influence some few people here and there, if you try to talk to the people in Lusaka or at the embassy to make that consulate to be permanent instead of honorary position, because, you know, the representation that California can have in terms of business in Zambia, as compared to Montana, where I am, is, I think, $5 trillion difference. If you try to talk to them, that way they can make that position permanent. That way, at least you can take your energy and use your energy in a permanent form, rather than working, going to work to survive, and then find some time during weekends to do what you're doing for the country. I would love you to do that, because I know how much energy you have.
Okay, let him respond back alone.
Thank you, Dr. Colon. Thank you for the kind words. I don't know where the energy comes from, frankly. I think at the end of the day, just for love of country, when, you know, I love where I come from. I love my people. I love the country so much. And I'm a strong believer that if you are able to do it, then why not do it? So that's kind of what drives me. In terms of a full consulate here, I obviously see the benefits of having more of a permanent representation in a state like California, but the call is not mine. Obviously, Minister of Foreign Affairs makes the decisions based on what they feel is best for the country. The other thing also to take into consideration is it costs a lot of money to have any type of foreign. Office, right? So already Zambia has the mission in New York. It also has the mission in D.C. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs would have to decide on whether strategically it makes sense for them to open up a third mission on soil. But again, that's not it's not my call. I serve the best way that I'm able to. If the Honorable Minister decides that that's the route that he wants to go, then, you know, that's obviously a bridge that we'll cross when we get there. But in the meantime, we'll just do what we can with what we have.
Excellent. Robert, before I bring in Pastor Alan in Florida, and we are joined here by another powerhouse within my vicinity here. Before I bring in Pastor Mwaka as well and other people that want to ask questions, I want you to discuss, first of all, the places that you visited. I'm looking at something on your page. What is MFEEZ? What was that?
The Multi-Facility Economic Zone.
What is that? And tell us what your visit there, how it looked like.
Sure. So the country, first of all, I was blown away by what I saw there. I'm aware of the multi-facility economic zones. The Ministry of Commerce has been talking about them for some years now. And what this is it's a designated piece of land. And I shouldn't say piece because it's very big. A designated piece of land where they basically said, we as a government are going to put in the roads, the electricity, the water. You as the investor, you just have to come and put up your facility, put up your factory. All the amenities are going to be in place. Now, the best one that I visited, the Lusaka South one, that is the most comprehensive. So you're looking at 2,100 hectares, okay, of land. And then they've also got an adjacent national park, which is 6,000 hectares. And that's, you know, there's live animals there as well. And this particular one, currently they have 22 companies that have already committed to setting up shop there. There's a pharmaceutical company. There's a pharmaceutical company, so actually drugs will be manufactured on soil for the local and export market. It's an Indian company that's set up. Saab that bought Zambia Breweries is set up. I think you saw some of those big. So I put a picture of the site where I went there. The building, this huge.
What does Saab do?
Beer.
South African brewery is Miller.
Yes. So they bought Zambia Breweries. So they've got a malting there. They've got a brewery that they're about to build. A very large facility that they're building there. So the next thing that they're going to have in there is 30,000 housing units, basically low cost, medium cost, and high cost houses. 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There will be obviously hotels. There will be all sorts of entertainment. So they're basically saying this multi-facility economic zone is a city within a city. Right now, this is a 30-year program, but right now phase one is getting the companies in. Once these companies in, a lot of these guys are saying we need to make sure that there's housing. So there's a huge opportunity there as well, because what they're looking for are outside investors to come in and say, you know what, you guys, you said you want 30,000, and they've already demarcated exactly where they want, what type of homes. So you can come in and say, okay, we're going to come in and we want to build 10,000 medium-cost housing, or we want to come in and build 5,000 low-income housing, all of that, or low-cost housing. All of that has already been designed all they're looking for right now is just investors to come in and set up shop. And like I said, there are 22 companies that are already on ground or committed to setting up. Now that's Lusaka South. There's also Lusaka East that also has a multi-facility economic zone. Chambeshi that also has one. So they're going to have these across
Chambeshi on the
country.
Copper Belt?
Yes. So they're going to have these basically scattered all over, in strategic places across the country.
Excellent. Roger, we need to pick up this and talk about it later. Robert is going to come back, I believe, any time I want him to come back anyway. In February, I can say that. In February, with the members of the delegation that he went with from the University of California, Los Angeles, Anderson School of Management, for them, they are working on a report and some things, and they'll come and talk to us about some of the things that... One of the things, Robert, that I love about the diaspora community is we've got smart pastors who just don't speak in tongues, but they are able to articulate business issues well. If you're not, this is Nathan, I can say whatever I want here. So the reason I'm saying that is I'm about to allow two pastors to say something here. But Alan, it's important that we lead the way, Pastor Mwaka. We shouldn't just preach people. Okay, let me allow you to ask the question. I'm going to go off here. Good morning, Pastor Mwaka.
Good morning, my brother, Pastor Nathan. Thank you so much for hosting this very enlightening show. I'm so just delighted to be on, and I just wanted to really commend you and applaud you, Robert. I was following everything you are doing, and we're so proud of you. You know, we in the diaspora have so much to offer Zambia. And I was home this year for about 4 months. And, you know, when I would speak Nyanja, people would be surprised. They're like, oh, you know, normally the diaspora, when they come, they have an attitude. You know, they're saying this is wrong, this is wrong. But, you know, I love your attitude, Robert. I think even without that position of honorary counsel, you've been doing what you're doing for a long time.
Yes,
and it's very inspirational, very, very inspirational. And I just want to encourage us as Zambians in the diaspora and Zambians in Zambia, you know, we have such a great nation, such untapped potential, limitless possibilities. And, you know, we really have to come out of, because another thing I saw at home, people are so critical of government. It doesn't matter whether it's PF government, MMB. I mean, they want government to do everything. But I think one thing America has taught me, that we as individuals can contribute so much to our nations. You know, I know right now Zambia, our economy is a little shaky. There's so much going on. But if we can look beyond that and just in our different capacities, with our different exposure, experience, education, contribute to our nation as Robert is doing. So that's just what I wanted to say. I didn't really have a question. It's just outstanding what you're doing, Robert. Keep up the good work. I know you've inspired many. And we pray many will follow suit.
Thank you, Pastor Mwaka. Thank you very much for the encouraging words. You know, with regards to my efforts, there are many in the diaspora that are working very hard and very diligently for the sake of their country. So, I think all of them, you know, should also be commended. I think one of the challenges that we face as a diaspora, it's not our lack of interest in developing the country. A lot of times we just don't know how or where to start, right? And, and because we're so far away from the country, it's, you know, a lack of information about opportunities, about challenges that one might face, make it very difficult for people to actually get up and say, let me do something. A lot of Zambians in the diaspora are very connected. They work for companies that can do tremendous things for their country. But a lot of times it's just the method, how to actually get things done, that's lacking. So for the Zambians that have the privilege of going back and forth, and I engaged with government, I engaged with private sector in Zambia, you know, I think, you know, they have the responsibility of sharing with others where the opportunities lie and where the challenges are. And with regards to being critical of the country, yes, we do. We're, you know, unfortunately, not just the diaspora, but even people on the ground, we have a lot of times where people are critical of government. We even see it here, all right? But it would be really nice to have some positive words about the country, about government, because it's almost like the stock market, right? If you keep on saying bad things about it, then people don't invest in it. They're like, ah, no, I'll lose my money. So it's the same thing with the country. If we keep saying Zambia is bad, nobody's going to put their money there, you know. And then you find the Chinese or the Europeans come in, they make their money and they leave. But in the meantime, we're bad-mouthing our country. I was very, very pleasantly overwhelmed by the support and the encouragement I got from governments and quasi-government agencies. You know, they put the call in, they knew, I told them what I was doing, opened up the doors, shared information, willingness to help. I mean, I leave the office at a particular time. By the end of the day, they've already emailed me information I need. People are working there. I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah. You know, so that was quite encouraging.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Robert, great stuff right there. Let me allow another question or comment here. Another smart pastor here. He doesn't just quote John 3:16. Pastor Alan, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Nathan. Robert, thank you. I followed a little bit about what you were doing in Zambia, and you know, I found myself getting excited. I was reading some of your posts, and I was telling some of my colleagues that we're working with. I'm like, listen, we're gonna get this information. As a matter of fact, I told what's his name again, that you're in Zambia right now, and because we're planning to take a delegation to Zambia of business people who want to go and do business in around June next year. And I think I'm in the position of most Zambians who have lived so long out here. We don't have all the information. And like you said, it's where do we start from and how do we start? But just a few couple of times that I've spoken to you when you are on the radio program, I picked up a thing or two. The only question that I want to ask is, as far as the political climate, because you know Americans, they just a lot of them will assume that a lot of them are not so well traveled and informed about Africa, so they will assume it's just one big war zone or one big epidemic zone with Ebola, people running around dodging Ebola. So cutting through some of that tape, you know, what is really the condition on the ground for people? And I will say that I will be calling on you to just get a little more concrete information. But we're proud of you, and just reading your post, I was getting excited, as if I was one who was down there personally, you know?
You can't avoid issues to do with the political environment. Any country that is close to elections, you're going to have a lot of buzz about it. My response has always been very basic, and as Nathan would tell you, that I try to avoid political discussions. But the thing is this, when I look at Zambia, I look at our history, all right? Now, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we're not a violent country. We have a very peaceful history. We've had peaceful transition over transition. So personally, that gives me that first step of encouragement. But when talking to an American, the American government is very clear about travel advisories. If there's any issue with traveling to Zambia, trust me, it'll be posted on there. They'll basically say, you know, there's a travel advisory here. We don't have that for the country, whether it's disease or whether it's unrest. All right, so for the Americans, I give them the resource that they trust, which is their own government resource. Okay, and there are no issues with regards to our country. So, yeah, we can read social media, we can read papers and all of that, but at the end of the day, I use two things. I look at our history, and I look at if I'm talking to an American, if I'm looking at traveling there, are there any travel advisories with regards to our country? And no, they aren't. So sorry if I take a very simple approach, but that's what I use, right? Because it's difficult to try and convince a trade delegation or an investor to go into a country where there's a travel advisory. We don't have that. But yes, you're going to have a lot of noise. We're in political season right now. Obviously, I'll be surprised if there was no noise about the political environment, because then it means somebody is shutting down voices. But no, I'm not concerned. I'm not particularly concerned there.
Okay. Well, that's good, because I think the Americans themselves are excited about that. At least the ones I've been talking to, they're the ones who pushed me even more to trying to get this thing set up, you know. Mm-hmm. And we finally just agreed that, okay, we have to do it in June. But we will be calling on you. Most of us, like I said, it's the information that we don't have about Zambia.
That's right.
We don't have facts. Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't do our homework. And yeah, we find ourselves bad-mouthing instead of promoting our own country.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Ramalenga. Robert, as we conclude, what is the anticipated outcome of all this as we try to jumpstart the AGOA thing?
Sure. So I have a list of deliverables that I expected Commerce obviously is waiting for us to deliver. So that comprehensive list for everybody, that'll be, mm-hmm, you know, to be public knowledge for everybody to use. There's also a development of a toolkit for businesses to use. So if anybody that wants to know about AGOA, we've already developed a first draft. So that will be ready soon. And then also a pathway, who to link with to take advantage of AGOA, specific organizations to link with in order to get this off the ground. So all of this we hope to have by the time it's done.
For you, Manny, I give to Jonathan.
Okay. Looking by February, we should have at least a good amount of resources for everybody to use. But in the meantime, I'm available if there's people that want to discuss further offline.
Excellent. Well, like I said, we shall bring Robert back together with some of the people that went with him to Zambia from the University of California, Los Angeles, Anderson School of Management. A few announcements here before we conclude, please. Those of us that live in the Dallas area, we just want to let you know that our sister, she's very active in the community. She's also a regular participant in this radio forum. Namunji is in hospital at Plano Presbyterian, okay? Take time to go and see her. Let's check on each other on this holiday season as we celebrate the birth of Christ and everything that goes with that. There is a song which says it's the most wonderful time of the year, but not for everybody. So try to remember those that are not having a great time. Like I've said, next week we're taking a holiday break. We'll not have a live show. We're going to have a recorded broadcast, and we shall come back on 2nd January with a big bang. We're just going to announce and declare the beginning of the political season in Zambia, like Robert has referred to. We may have HH or Dr. Mumba, one of the two, just to get on to the political thing. Robert, thank you. How are you spending your Christmas?
Thank you. Just relaxing. I'm still suffering from jet lag, so I'm just going to sleep through the month of December.
Excellent.
Yeah, but
well,
Merry Christmas,
I appreciate
to everybody.
You. I appreciate, my friend. Remember when I wrote on your Facebook, I said, cousin, you're already back. And then Pastor Mark, I said, I didn't know that you and Robert were cousins. Yeah.
Zambia is so small. We're all related.
I know. Everybody, that was our show today. Mr. Robert Zinga Jr., Honorary Counsel of the Republic of Zambia in California, discussing his recent trip to Zambia on the AGOA initiative. Merry Christmas. Have a great
Bye-bye.
Weekend. And Happy New Year. The Lord bless everybody and watch over you. Please, those of us that live in Dallas, let's take time to go and see Namunji. And we'll see you on 2nd January with HH or Dr. Mumba. Bye.
Bye.
somebody came and told me that you are the God who heals. And I believed in those words, cause I've been searching and searching. And I believed in those words, cause I've been searching and searching. God, you are the fire. Yes, God, you are the fire. Palabra.